Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pentecost isn't what you think it is. I'm pretty sure about that. It's not all candles and a refreshing sea breeze. A woman tells her story that paints a more accurate picture of this glorious and chaotic day. Listen to her story. When I was dealing with the impending death of my mother, terminal cancer, I was sitting at work just blankly staring into the void. One of my coworkers is a pretty religious guy, not the pushy type, though. He walks in, and we make eye contact. "You know," he says, "all this, it's just temporary." I smiled and thanked him. He smiled back and went off without another word. I left work early and sat and thought about it for hours. I started crying. When I finished, I felt better, and the more it sank in, the stronger I grew to face the situation. That was over 10 years ago, and I still remember that moment more than anything that ever happened at that job. Are you ready for this world of chaos? The Spirit is. This brave Christian man comes alongside of his coworker to show her that there's more to this world than what she's able to see. And it's not unlike what the Holy Spirit does on Pentecost, in the Pentecost story. We've heard the Pentecost story so many times, it's become comfortable. Tongues of fire and violent winds have turned into candles, breezes, and doves, all very peaceful images. We've made the story PG for the church, but it wasn't that way. Violent wind and tongues of fire, there's nothing peaceful about that. I think we need a new view of the Holy Spirit. Could it be that we linger just a bit too long on one of the names of the Spirit, the Comforter? We often use the Comforter name to say that the Holy Spirit eases our distress, encourages us, and comes to us in times of trouble to remind us of Jesus' presence and His promises. And while that is sometimes true, in the Pentecost text, the Holy Spirit isn't comforting, but He's shaking things up, to be sure. The Holy Spirit is creating chaos, and the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost to prompt the disciples to announce what is disturbing, disruptive, and world-changing. And there is nothing comfortable about that. Once the disciples take hold of their new multilingual ability, people who witness this event describe it as bewildering, amazing, astonishing. The Spirit didn't comfort anyone that day, but instead inspired those disciples to make a public scene with the troubling good news that Jesus is alive through the power of God. The Spirit seldom takes away our problems. Rather, the Spirit helps us name the inward hopes, desires, and longings that attend anyone who is waiting for God's redemption. The pain of creation can seem so great, and redemption can seem so far away, that the Spirit intervenes, interrupts, and intercedes by giving voice to our deepest needs. So as I see it, the Holy Spirit is as much agitator as advocate, as much provoker as comforter. But there's another word for the Holy Spirit. That word is paraclete. You probably aren't familiar with that term. It's the Greek word, a compound Greek word that literally means to come alongside another. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us, whether that is to defend, to counsel, to comfort, or encourage us. The one who comes along might also strengthen us for our journey, help us collect our courage, or provoke us to action. The Paraclete is the one who encourages and equips us to do God's work. As you can see from the text, the Holy Spirit creates chaos. But it also seems in those moments of chaos, something new is born. This isn't a new thing, believe it or not. Consider the chaotic stories of the Bible that are connected to wind or the Spirit. The wind of God hovering over the face of the deep at creation. The wind driving back the flood in the time of Noah. The wind that separated the waters of the Red Sea to let the Israelites pass through from slavery to freedom. The wind that signaled to Elijah that God's fearsome power can also be heard in a still, small voice. The Spirit also appears as fire. The fire that landed as tongues on the people's heads. The fire that sealed the covenant with Abraham. The fire of the burning bush at the call of Moses. The fire of pillar that guided the Israelites through the wilderness. And the judging, consuming fires of Elijah and the prophets. These stories teach us that the work of the Holy Spirit cannot be contained, constrained, or controlled. God shows no regard for our structures, hierarchies, our status quos that we love to hang on to. Even the basic, predictable structures of the universe are not exempt from whatever God has in store for creation. God's unstoppable drive toward new creation is made visible in the disorienting experiences of human life. And it's in those experiences that God's revelation reaches deeper than we could ever imagine. The Spirit moves where it will, and we cannot predict how or where it will show up. But when it does, it brings a new vision, sometimes even chaos in the world. Almost exactly a year ago, John Foreman, who's a lead singer of a band called Switchfoot, maybe some of you have heard of them before, they're not necessarily what I would call a typical Christian band, but they're all Christian guys. And John Foreman wrote this article in the Huffington Post called Chaos Versus Control, where he tells how he and his band were playing a set, and toward the end of the night, the lights went out. The sound system still worked, but the lighting console just completely crashed. And he said, in that uncertain moment, something beautiful happened. The entire crowd began to light the stage with cell phones and cigarette lighters. It was truly magic. A crowd of strangers knit together in a moment of pure, spontaneous beauty, an unplanned instant of joy born out of chaos. He goes on to talk about chaos and control. He says, this incredible, brilliant flash of joy and transcendence had broken our plans, and something far better was born. This is exactly what's going on in John 16. That wasn't our gospel. It's a little bit further down the line. Jesus is talking about his departure and the impending trouble that that the disciples had ahead of them. And this is what he says. The hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. That's mildly troubling, wouldn't you say? A few verses later, he says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I have many things I have to say to you, but you can't hear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. How often do we experience things like that? Moments when our hearts beat faster, our lungs tighten, we brace ourselves for what is unexpected. I bet that's how the apostles felt when the violent wind blew and the tongues of fire, like fire, appeared over their heads. Heart-racing moments like this make us hold on tighter before we figure out what's happening next. Going back to that Forman article, he says that when the lights came back on, it was, quote, like walking from a dream. The connected feeling disappeared. I joked that we should turn them back off again, but it's impossible to return to those moments. The moment was gone, but its memory I won't forget. A song crafted from the chaos. We typically try to avoid chaos, don't we? And yet, despite our plans, our backup arrangements, we often discover that we don't have much control as we think. We'd like to avoid the darkness of the unknown, but hovering over the waters, somewhere between chaos and control, beauty and hope are born. The Spirit, in our darkest moments, help us to see flowers cracking through a pavement, the light bursting through a cloudy sky. The Spirit comes when we least expect it and moves in ways that we have never considered. Our world isn't fixed or set in stone, and it appears that we're both powerful and helpless. Forman says, it is in this beautiful, terrible mystery of life where our story takes place. As I dance with my daughter in my arms, explosions echo in the streets of Palestine, and an earthquake erupts north of India. This is the messy canvas of our existence, the chaotic battlefield where our journeys take place. Now, to be honest, did you ever think that the chaotic space in which we live can become holy ground? That's the message of Pentecost. Pentecost also tells us that we can't enter the chaotic battlefield alone. When we accept the truth of our shortcomings and our inability to control outcomes, many of us are able to grasp the idea, maybe for the first time, that we're not God. So in other words, we need God's Spirit. With the Spirit, we can respond to the world around us, and He changes chaos into beauty. The times when the violent wind comes, the times when the tongues of fire come, that's holy ground. Even in the midst of the fear and the inability to control, with God's Spirit, we find our voice and we find out what God is doing in our lives. We can't control the Spirit, but the Spirit comes alongside us in our darkest moments. And in those moments when we're too afraid to take the next steps, He shows us the beauty of something new and alive. Somewhere in the chaos of the violent wind and the tongues of fire are the wonderlands where God is moving in our lives. The Spirit has come alongside of us. You know, the apostles in the Pentecost story knew what to do next because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the one who comes along us and encourages, equips, strengthens, provokes, and comforts us so we can get out there and do it again what needs to be done. The Spirit helps us to see the beauty of the turbulent winds in our lives and turns on the light in our darkness. I'll bet more than not that most of us are living in a place where we need to look at our situations differently. God used a man who simply sought to comfort his distraught co-worker with the word of truth and a smile. And in that one short moment, the door of her heart was opened to the Holy Spirit, who came alongside her in her grief and comforted her, not just for that moment, but for years after. Friends in Christ, I need to see the Spirit coming alongside and showing me a new way every day. My worldview needs to be shaken to the point where I can acknowledge my helplessness and be open to the Holy Spirit's presence so that He can bring divine beauty and purpose to my chaotic existence. And I know you're probably all waiting to burst out in some big amen. I get it, it's okay. But before you do that, let me ask you, do you need to know that God is working alongside you in your chaos? And now you can say it. Amen. And I will tell you, Pentecost assures that He is working beside you. Amen.